Pluto represents everything that lays below the surface. Everything that is not easy to grasp, easy to talk about, easy to see. You can think about it as the gold, right? Let's think about it as the gold that lays deep. What do you have to do to find gold? You have to dig deep into the earth. What do you need to do to get to the end? You have to dive deep. And so it is kind of like the gold that lays beneath the surface, whether that is a metal, whether that is something that's in the deepest part of your subconscious mind, something that's hidden. It could even be a secret. It could be a secret talent you had but didn't notice. I guess that's what really describes Pluto as something that's really hidden.
Welcome to Cosmic RX Radio, a podcast that gives you real-life tools of spiritual empowerment and pure hype. I'm your host and intuitive guide, Maddie Murphy. I'll be serving up your weekly energy readings, cosmic boss interviews, and astro inspiration. Are you ready to love yourself more, manifest your dream life, and own your magic? Let's jump in.
Hello, baddies. Buckle up, buttercups, get your pen and paper out, because today we have a very, 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 very special interview with an astrologer that I know many of you absolutely love and adore, talking about a subject that we can't stop getting DMs about. Yep, I have on Narayana Montufor today to talk about Pluto in Aquarius and what it means for your sign. And for those of you who don't know Narayana, you've definitely seen her work if you've read anything about astrology on the internet, first of all. She's an astrologer, artist, Akashic Records practitioner who finds inspiration in the symbolic language of astrology. And she was actually featured as one of Medium.com's Authority Magazine 2020's Strong Female Leaders. She's been awarded by Destig Magazines for the top artist to collect in 2020. And she was one of Vogue's 13 astrologers to follow in 2021. From 2011 to 2023, Narayana has served as the senior astrologer of astrology.com and horoscope.com, and her work has been featured everywhere from Vogue, Teen Vogue, Refinery 29, InStyle, Bustle, Pop Sugar, Women's Health, you name it. And in her private practice, her holistic approach really seeks to create a positive impact by connecting each one of her clients to the uniqueness of their chart and to help illuminate their path towards the ultimate state of self-empowerment and self-discovery. And in her artistic process, she is inspired by the richness of the cosmos as she channels the vibe of what is happening in the sky at certain times in the form of colorful palettes, shapes, and textures. And this is why I'm so honored to have her on today. You know, we love the artists, the revolutionaries, the change makers, the visionaries, and she's going to really help us, I think, have an empowering and maybe even, dare I say, inspirational perspective on what Pluto could be doing for us for the next 20 years. So welcome to the pod again, Narayana. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me back, Maddie. I am so honored to be working with you and your amazing team. And we had so much fun the first time. And so I am just super happy to be here. Thank you.
Oh, such a joy. And what a little bit of a difference and a vibe. Last time you were on, we were talking about moon signs and your amazing book you wrote. And today we're going in on Pluto.
Well,
it's like from the warm, cozy mother to Lord of the Underworld. So
yes. You know, Pluto is not, I would say, the easiest planet to approach. But as a double Scorpio, I know Pluto really well, I would say. And I have to be honest, I love this planet, even though it is not the easiest to talk about, but I think it's really important that we talk about Pluto. Why? Because, you know, in the Akashic Records, I've asked the Akashic Records, what's Pluto? And they've told me Pluto is the soul. It is the end of the soul's journey. It is that higher evolved state. And so I think that we are experiencing some of the most exciting astrology due to Pluto now. And it is a process that we're all in. And I'm excited to dive in into this with you.
We're all in this together. To quote High School Musical, we're all in this together. I love it. And just hearing you talk, this is why you are the absolute perfect guide to help us, you know, as we go through this amazing like threshold, right? Into another huge, unprecedented like moment in time in the collective, but also in our personal lives. So you already kind of gave us a little tease, and I love that, like the Akashic. Like, I love that you gave that hot take on it because it's so soulful. It's so beautiful. It's so resonant to me. And this is why I love the work that you do. It's so intuitive. It's so artistic. It's so like truthful. So I guess like, you know, we're talking about Pluto entering Aquarius. We're going to get into a little bit of like, the, you know, what it means for us, what's happened in the previous cycles, some maybe like key dates to know. Let's just talk about Pluto for a second. Like, who are they? What is Pluto in terms of a planet, or, you know, obviously people who are not into astrology and people who are more astronomical, they're like, oh, Pluto's not a planet anymore. And I'm like, oh, honey, that's so meta. It's so Pluto to be, for people in the collective to not even be aware of the planet that I think represents so much of our subconscious.
Oh, yes.
But let's talk a little bit about, like, to you personally, what does Pluto represent to you beyond the soul? Anything else you want to add to that?
Pluto represents everything that lays below the surface. Everything that is not easy to grasp, easy to talk about, easy to see. You can think about it as the gold, right? Let's think about it as the gold that lays deep. What do you have to do to find gold? You have to dig deep into the earth. What do you need to do to get to the end? You have to dive deep. And so it is kind of like the gold that lays beneath the surface, whether that is a metal, whether that is something that's in the deepest part of your subconscious mind, something that's hidden. It could even be a secret. It could be a secret talent you had but didn't notice. I guess that's what really describes Pluto as something that's really hidden, but that represents a rich, like Pluto is representative of riches, whether that is a material or an ethereal or a physical thing. It is, Pluto represents the riches, mm-hmm, of something very valuable, but something really intense as well. It's something that you're going to notice immediately at a collective level. Pluto represents the collective subconscious. What are the drives? What's lurking beneath the surface? And at a personal level, it represents our ability to transform.
Yes. Okay. Amazing. So well said. So beautifully said. And I love that about the gold, or you know, even thinking of any movie you've ever seen with treasure hunters. It's not an easy journey to get the treasure, right? When people embark on their own hero's journey, you know, in a fairy tale or in a movie, they have to go into the darkest caves, right? Or face the monsters, quote unquote, or go, you know, and tunnel into these exact last place they want to go, usually to get the gold, to get the treasure. And so there's something you really like, I feel that metaphor so deeply with Pluto. And then I think a lot lately, I keep thinking about like Pluto reveals and heals. It's like, it's going to reveal, it's going to show everything we've been shoving down as society or personally, you know, trying to put it in that closet or trying to like push it down like the toilet. It's like, I don't want to look at that. And then like during certain moments, like everything, right, explodes, implodes, comes to the surface, but so we can look at it, so we can heal, so we can integrate. But it's intense. That's why I'm so happy to have your double Scorpio energy to guide us through, because it's not for the faint of heart, but I do feel like the hard work is what opens us up to the hard work. The biggest Pluto moments in my life that I've had has opened me up so much deeper to like my heart, my soul's growth, to intimacy, vulnerability, to understanding myself, my intuition. So anyone who's listening, don't worry, we're gonna give it to you straight. But I feel like we do want to have a wide disclaimer at the beginning of this episode that like, I know I've had a few people, specifically Aquarius, Aquarii, come up to me, my wonderful chiropractor, one of my dear friends, some of my older clients have been like, am I going to be okay? Like, what's happening? So big, bold disclaimer, we're all going to go through something, but I do want to say that you're fine. Pluto's not going to come for you to like snatch you out of the street, out of nowhere, make you disappear overnight or something. any changes that we're going through, any transformation, it's like what you were just saying, Nara. Like, I love that visual of like the gold of getting into that process. And then in terms of Pluto moving into the sign of Aquarius, can we talk a little bit about, you know, why that's significant and what Aquarius energy like represents to you?
Yes, of course. So Pluto, true, it got demoted as a planet, like you were saying, but in astrology, there's absolutely no demotion. It is the planet of power, the natural cycles of death and rebirth, of beginnings and endings, and radical change. The reason why every time you open your Instagram or you go on YouTube or you get your horoscope, everyone's talking about Pluto is because Pluto is the farthest planet from the sun, right? So it's like the farthest, and it moves really slowly. And it has an irregular orbit on top of that. It behaves differently from all the other planets. And so on top of that, right? It's like it's like an anomaly, you could say. And that is representative of what it rules, right? The shadow and what's hidden, because it's so far away. Pluto, imagine it's getting so little light from the sun. Just think about that, right? It's very representative of what it rules. But due to its irregular orbit, Pluto doesn't spend the same amount of time in each zodiac sign like all other planets do, the rest of the planets. And so Pluto will all, because it's really slowly, it won't change signs very often. Mm-hmm. The last time this happened was in 2008 when Pluto went into Capricorn. And because Pluto rules the collective vibrations, the collective shadow, the collective subconscious and power, and all of these really big things. Now we're talking about this because Pluto has been entering Aquarius and exiting Aquarius and kind of like dipping into Capricorn. But this year, 2024, feels kind of like when the change is really taking place, because Pluto is going to spend more time in Aquarius than Capricorn. It's only going to dip into Capricorn one more time in the fall, September and October, and then it's fully in Aquarius. And it's not going to make a move like this in the sky for 20 years. So that's why that's a big deal. In astrology, as you know, Maddie, the aspects that are more rare pack a bigger punch.
Absolutely. And this is a hell of a punch. And I love just keeping it spicy that Pluto is going to go back into Capricorn just in time for, like, here in the U.S. we'll have our elections and eclipse season. And so I'm like, ooh, this fall is going to be interesting. I think for years I've been looking at that. I'm like, ooh, that's going to be spicy. But yeah, like this thing around like power, again, moving into Aquarius, we have just finished the Pluto return of the United States of America. But on like even on a larger international scale, we've seen, you know, Pluto in Capricorn since 2008. Pluto, which is so this like wrecking ball energy. And again, we need a wrecking ball to build new things. It's not all bad. Again, it's like heals and reveals and shows us where to invest or divest our energy or just where things have gotten, you know, out of balance. We saw that move into Capricorn in 2008. We've seen very Pluto wrecking ball to Capricorn type themes, you know, around traditional structures, things in our society, especially around like government, politics, power, basically everything our society has, right? 2008, we had Obama was elected here, which was a huge, something very different. First Black president of the United States. We saw the economic collapse. We saw Occupy Wall Street. And then it's just been every few years, basically looking at everything, right? From the Me Too movement, then to like COVID and everything's like, almost people are standing around like, I don't even know what's what anymore, right? All of our solid ground that we thought was below our feet, whether it was for better or worse, everything feels like different, right? We're in a paradigm shift. And I think with Pluto and Aquarius, where we're going is so futuristic, right? Like the sign of Aquarius just rules, like it rules the future. It rules progress, right? When we think of Aquarian energy, it's visionary, it's the higher mind, it's us energy. Like I keep thinking of that, you know, I Aquarius, like we're going to be doing things that are much more distribution of hopefully resources and power and different representation seen in that and leaps and bounds in technology, right? Aquarius rules that like almost things that we're going to be doing in a few years and the innovations we have, like, I can't even think of right now. Like, they're so like beyond our realm of even like imagination, I think. And then Aquarius rules out like air and space travel. So we've seen some themes come up around that. And I think that last year in March, when Pluto made its first ingress into Aquarius, I sort of personally look at that as like the beginning, even though it's going back and forth to Capricorn, because I feel like last year, you know, we saw huge boom with AI, right? ChatGPT came out. We saw I think on the day of the ingress, we saw the Silicon Valley collapse, the banking. Like, I think we're like in it. Like, we're in the themes. We've kind of seen like, all right, the shift is coming. And now this year will be like a longer time, almost a full year into it. And then we go in 2025. Feels like the beginning of a whole new chapter. Like, almost to me, I keep thinking about 2025. I imagine us like some very visual, like how my guides speak to me and how I process information. And I keep thinking of it, we're like packing up in the spaceship in 2025. We're just like off now. We're off into a new, like multiverse universe. Like, bye-bye everyone. Like, we're going forward. No more like looking back. So like with Pluto and Aquarius, you know, obviously none of us had lived through this before, from what you just said about, you know, how long Pluto takes to transit through a sign. But I'm always a big fan of looking at like what has happened during previous cycles. That's why I love astrology. Is like, it is like you get to not like predict the future, but you get to understand, right, that time is not linear. Time is happening in this sort of these patterns, and we can look at them and kind of be like, okay, that's what happened last time. There was this big transit, and that might inform what's happening now. And then I will take that one step further and be like, and then we could use that energy, you know, for our collective liberation, our personal empowerment. But in terms of like the last time Pluto was in Aquarius, do you want to speak to anything that like stands out to you or during any Pluto and Aquarius transits? We have obviously the last most recent one was like 17.
Yeah, it was 1777 and 1798.
Yeah.
This is the fascinating thing about astrology, right? It's like we study the past in order to be able to predict the future. Still, things are going to be different because like we've evolved, right? We've somewhat evolved and times are different. And so that's what we're doing now in order to figure out what's going to happen. There will be some themes echoing the last times that Pluto was in Aquarius. But of course, things are different. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is 2024. So what's fascinating about this, as you were saying, Maddie, no one alive has experienced Pluto in Aquarius. And on top of that, no one alive has Pluto in Aquarius in their charts. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
That's how massive this transit is, because like the older people alive now have Pluto in Leo, which is the opposite sign. Pluto in Leo are the oldest people, like our parents, you know, grandparents. And what strikes me, I mean, I've been studying, I've been listening to podcasts, I've been reading, you know, all of this. What makes this transit stand out, I would say, if I were going to choose a few words or sentences around what happens every time that Pluto is in Aquarius, mind-shattering discoveries.
Mind-shattering
mm-hmm. discoveries from, and this I got from, I was listening to Chris Brennan yesterday, for example, from The Earth Is Not Flat, right? The Earth Is Not Flat to The Sun Is the Center of Our Solar System. All of those discoveries happened while Pluto was in Aquarius. But imagine this. When you have a thought in your mind, when you have been told all your life, let's just think about it. And this is an example. The Earth is flat, and that is what everybody thinks, and that's the accepted knowledge. When something like, oh, it turns out the Earth is not flat, it's round, there is resistance. Aquarius is a fixed sign. There's resistance to that knowledge. And that's why when you're very stuck in a certain way of thought, a new thought can't transform you because you already have this way of thinking in place. But what Pluto is going to do, it's going to shatter that way of thinking. It destroys. Pluto destroys. So another thought can come in and transform you. But these are facts, okay? So like, this is a really long time ago, obviously. But like when Copernicus found out that the sun was the center of the solar system, everybody thought he was crazy. It happened during Pluto in Aquarius. For example, the interesting part too is Uranus. Uranus, the modern ruler of Aquarius, was also discovered during a time when Pluto was in Aquarius. That's what I mean by mind shattering. It just means like everything we think we know about science, the collective, everything about our place in the solar system, about astrology. Astrology had also seen amazing discoveries during the times that Pluto was in Aquarius. And so be prepared for that. Be prepared for mind-altering discoveries about everything, about alien life, about quantum physics, about psychotherapy, for example. When Pluto was sighted for the first time, that's when psychotherapy began. So we're up for some big changes in the way we see everything, from physics to spirituality to astrology to technology. The AI that you were mentioning was just the beginning.
We're just on like this, like a little, I think about like last year and this year, just the little like, bloop, like minor coming attraction, little amuse-bouche before we get into the banquet hall of what Pluto and Aquarius has to offer us. And I love that you said like mind shattering, because that is it, right? Like the Aquarius air sign, fixed air. It's like, what has our mind just accepted as truth or something that's almost so in our thoughts and our ideologies, we're not even like aware of them. And then Pluto is coming in again with that wrecking ball. I can't stop thinking of Miley Cyrus, like back in the day, like I came in like a wrecking ball and she like swoops in like on a wrecking ball. Like I think about Pluto and Aquarius, like when you said mind shattering, I'm like, yep, that's the wrecking ball coming for that. And in some ways it'll be very challenging and in some ways it's gonna be very exciting. But yeah, you mentioned like scientific, you know, Copernicus, like hello, that was a huge, I mean, mind-shattering breakthrough. The Protestant reform, right, happened during Pluto and Aquarius, where it was just like, of course, everyone, right, in Europe was a Roman Catholic Church, just thought certain things, everything, you know, certain ideologies were just like, that was it, right? And then it became like a new movement, right? A huge new movement in terms of how people were thinking of people, also in social order that came with that. And something that we saw, like obviously the revolution, the French Revolution during the previous one and the Declaration of Independence was in like the tail end of Pluto and Capricorn, but I feel like it really went into like effect in Pluto and Aquarius. And I think that's something else that's interesting when I was studying Pluto cycles. It's almost like the very beginning of a Pluto cycle kind of speaks to like, what was the thing that we like either shed below the surface or just dealt with in the tail end of the last. Like I think about Pluto and Sagittarius. Sagittarius can be a sign of excess or reckless optimism even. And then Pluto moves into Capricorn. And it was like to the day of all of that, we saw a housing crisis from predatory lending or people kind of thinking like, yeah, I can have the American dream. I can have a house. And then it being like, actually, like, nope. And so I'm thinking with this Pluto and Aquarius, we're already kind of seeing some of that of even like people coming out just this past year being like, yo, hold up, AI, we need to slow down on this a little bit, right? We need to put some regulations in place. And I'm like watching it and it's just so interesting. But I love what you said, everything from AI to aliens, I think like things in our social order, it's all going to be there. I don't know about you, and I'm, you know, we'll get into the message for the signs in a moment, but like just a vibe check on Pluto and Aquarius for you. If you could think as, you know, a guide, I think you're someone, a translator, you know, of the stars, of, you know, you read the poetry of the planets and bring it to here for us on Earth through your art, through your readings, through your writing. I had this one thing that keeps going through my mind. It's like, I think it's from my guides of like Pluto and Aquarius, like something for us to keep in mind. But I'm wondering, is there anything that you're just feeling into that feels like kind of like the medicine, like the RX, like a prescription for us as all of us kind of step through this threshold into as we go into Pluto and Aquarius?
Yes, of course. And, you know, I'm right there with you. You know, I feel like my guides have a plan. You know, they have a plan for this. And I'm just following through. And what they've told me and what I can gather is that this is a really important time to be alive. Every single one of us that is alive now, you're here for a reason.
We have chills.
This is not a coincidence. You chose this path. You chose to be alive now because the planet needs you. The planet, the earth, the environment. You're here to bring a gift. And that is very particular to you, to your chart, to your journey, you know, all of that. But you're here to bring something meaningful that only you can bring. And I feel like this is the moment. Okay. And no pressure, right? Because you have the next 20 years. You have the next 20 years to.
Right. 20 years to do this. Exactly.
No pressure because you have the next 20 years to answer that question and to start beginning bringing that gift. But at the end of the day, Maddie, and what I really want to say, like here, you know, in a big picture, we've had all these Aquarian activations in the rare astrology that we've experienced since June, since 2020. We had the big conjunction at 0 degrees of Aquarius. Do you remember that? Then we had the two rulers of Aquarius squaring, starting to decompose the foundations, you know, the squares between Saturn and Uranus. And then now with Pluto entering Aquarius, is like, we're anchoring the age of Aquarius, which is known to be like as the age of light that like we've been reading for decades. And so right now, I invite everyone to really feel into that question. What's your gift? What is it that you only you can do that's so special that is going to create an impact in our world and our society? Mm-hmm. Because like, Aquarius is related to like activism and revolution and all of this. I think that sometimes people get a little like sensitive around that. And, you know, they say like, well, I'm not one to like go out and protest. I'm not one to like, right? This is beyond that. This is beyond that. You can be an activist just by doing your work, just by bringing your light, by providing that you came to give. You're in a life here for. It's not a coincidence. And so now Pluto invites us to like look below the surface and say, what are you here to contribute, my love? What are you here to do? It goes beyond just showing up at your 9-to-5 work, la, 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 la. It goes beyond that because Aquarius is the 11th sign of the zodiac. Mm-hmm. We have a tendency to think that Pisces is the like, we're all in this together, or kind of like, you know, and Pisces does reflect a collective vibration, but Aquarius does too, right? We're before that. And so this time, I feel like that's why everything is changing so much. I think people are having a little bit of a harder time adapting to the big changes. But in this case, this is when astrology is so useful. You have a map. Mm-hmm. You have a map,
yes.
You were given a map, and in the Akashic Records, we think you chose that map, that you chose your chart, and that you chose your nodal axis, for example. And so right now, I invite you to look at that, deeply study the Aquarius house in your chart, and that's where the gold is. That's where the gold is, but you have to get dirty. You have to get dirty. You have to like no gloves and dive deep and try to answer that question.
Oh, so well said. And exactly, like we have to be willing to get a little dirty, go into the unknown, or we don't know how it's all going to play out into that quote unquote, like the darkness of the cave. But I so, so believe in that. And it's so obvious. And sometimes I think my brain works in like posters that you see in your elementary school classroom. But I keep thinking, I'm like, oh yeah, like Aquarius, us, like we need the both of that, right? Like who am I? What am I bringing to this for us, like for this change that we're going through? And I always think about like the strength of a sign too. I always look at like the opposite sign so much to understand it. So it's like, yes, to be in this Aquarius energy, the thing that my guides keep showing me is, yeah, we have to also remember and really get into the heart space so much. Like, it's kind of that Leo correlation. And just remember, like, our humanness. I keep thinking of that, like, hold on to our humanness, hold on to our humanity. And I didn't know why, but I was thinking of that for like years leading to Pluto and Aquarius. And to your point, like, we had the great conjunction. We had like Saturn squaring Uranus. Like, you know, we've been getting like the prerequisite homework, right? Like, to get us yeah. ready for the big,
yeah, like step by step, right?
School we're entering. Yeah. We've been like easing in there. Again, there's always a divine wisdom to the cosmos. They're like, all right, we're going to ease you in. And I keep thinking, oh, I remember our humanness. And I understand it's on so many levels. It feels like, remember our humanness in that, like, AI and all this tech, like, it can't replace humans, and it can't replace human connection, and it can't replace, like, the things that make us feel alive, being in nature, making art with our hands. Like, it's great. It's a great helper, right? It's great. It's going to open up, I think, a lot of doors and equalize certain playing fields. But also that remembering the humanness in that revolutionary energy, like when I was looking at all the history, I'm like, oh God, like, revolution, it sounds so good on paper. But then when you look at the history, whether it's, you know, the Haitian Revolution, the French Revolution, I'm like, those are violent. Those are bloody. Those are times where we could be so just at odds. And I think that this revolution is going to be much more about ideologies and
digital. I think it's going to be a digital.
And digital, mm-hmm. very digital. Like, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to be so much like battlefield so much, but more exactly like digital, and also like over our minds and where we're allowing ourselves to break free from certain things that we've been told, or the like us versus them always. But just as like this remembering our humanness and remembering our humanity is just this, like, and it also feels like kind of the antidote to all of the anxiety that can like live up here about like, ooh, all this big stuff we're doing, all this forward motion. It's like getting back into our bodies, getting back into our hearts, and remembering that we all have something to offer that's like uniquely ours. I love it. Like, it's exactly what I was feeling into, and plus like remembering to be in the heart space. So I think that's a great kind of segue into talking and, you know, sign by sign, mm-hmm. what to expect with this transit, but knowing that that's the big like umbrella for everyone, right? The big theme to come back to as we move through this.
Piggybacking on what you were saying, because I love that. I'm not necessarily like an evolutionary astrologer, but I do read about evolutionary astrology. Piggybacking on what you were saying of the opposite sign, Leo. Mm-hmm. From the evolutionary perspective, we'll be working with Pluto in Leo. And it really reminds me of this amazing vibes of the influencers. You know how they, everything's like now influencer
yes,
marketing,
100%.
Everything. That is working with Pluto in Leo. And in a way, I was bringing that to inspire everyone to look at that gift and show that gift.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
Because if you're not showing your gift a la Leo, which is like a lot of the times, a lot of people think about Leo energy as like attention whore and all of that, you know, that no, is what yeah. you want. Because if you're not showing your gift to the world, you are not necessarily... There's something around that you need to evolve. There's a gift around what you need to evolve, but also with the evolving times.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And like, yeah, I think about that a lot. Mm-hmm. The Pluto and Aquarius opposite Pluto and Leo is like, this is the kind of the end of that like gatekeeping of celebrity. Whereas now each of us can own celebrity in that, owning our inner artist, owning our ability to be seen. We don't have to go to like a Hollywood studio or an agency, or you know, it's like different. It's like distributing it, but also to help move us forward, right? Even things we've seen lately, it's like, yeah, we have different like beauty standards. Different ones are being highlighted. Different new people making art. Different people putting themselves out there, and it feels like it's this big tapestry that we're weaving together. Like, it used to be just a few people controlled what we saw, people controlled what we were interested in, people controlled the news that we consumed. And this Aquarius, you know, Pluto and Aquarius feels like all of that is like going to be shattered, to your point. But we each need to show up for that invitation. There's something like tapping at us, mm-hmm. right? And like, it's like, oh, I don't want it. Might confront a lot within you, right? Around being seen, around, you know, self-doubt, around things that are so big and generational. But that's why Pluto's here to help us. Just like take that wrecking ball to all that and look at it and implode it. So I'm very excited because I did ask people on Instagram, like, what did they want to talk about with us today? And everyone just asked what it meant for their own sign. So I was like, perfect.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, are Capricorns going to be okay? Or like, what does it mean for, you know, a Sagittarius? Mm-hmm. So shall we get into, I know you've prepared a little bit of like a hot take or reading a message for each sign.
Yes.
Shall we like get into it?
I love it. Yes. And I invite you to take this as inspiration, right? And I invite you to read into it. Like have a little note.
Yeah.
And then have it in a place where you can access it because of the whatever I'm going to give you, it's going to take on many different meanings. And it's going to take a meaning that's important to you. Like that's what's really amazing about astrology. We have free will. So we can also direct this towards where we want to use this transit or harness this transit. So that's really important to bring, right? Free will is a universal law. So you have the control of your life. Pluto is coming in to suggest, to unravel, to unveil. Mm-hmm. But you being, just being conscious about what Pluto is doing in your chart, it's half of the homework. So I just wanted to say that real quick because like I feel like sometimes people are like, well, I'm not like that or this is, you know, it's like take it as inspiration and give it the meaning that start that's going to start showing up for you. And that is how it's going to manifest. So I'm ready now.
Oh my goodness, there's so much I could say, but for time's sake, let's just jump into it before I keep talking. All right, so shall we start off with our rambunctious rams with the Aries, like get into it that way?
Yes.
Or do we start with Aquarius? How do you feel?
I would like to start with Aquarius just because.
I kind of sensed it as I was saying it. I was like, I feel like you want to start with Aquarius. It makes sense. This is their
this
time,
is like
right?
Their this time. Mm-hmm.
Their center stage. We're calling them up. And every, I know Aquarius is tuning in right now. Like, when are they going to get to the reading by the sign? Am I going to be okay? So, okay, let's jump into it. Aquarius,
you are going to be okay. Of course you are. But you're going to be asked to take your power back, whatever that means. There will be incredibly profound changes in your inner world. That's where everything starts. And they've probably been coming. This is really important for you to think about because Pluto is not a planet that just sudden, that's Uranus. Pluto is unearthing changes that have already been in the works, but that for whatever reason you weren't making or that you weren't accepting. And so now it's kind of like the cat's out of the bag. Whether it is quitting your job, breaking up a long-term relationship, and whether that is, I don't want to be like this anymore. I'm ready to step into a new way of being. And so those profound changes have already been coming. I know a lot of people who, Aquarian people, that just all of a sudden quit their jobs, ended their relationships because like Pluto is like, all right, it's time to face this. And so you're definitely going to be okay, but it's going to be a situation where you will have to make choices. You will have to make choices, and those choices will be very important. So choose carefully because whatever you decide is going to set the tone for the next 20 years of your life. For example, yeah. Relationships will be one of them because we have Pluto opposing the seventh house. And so... Your relationships are not going to be superficial. Never again.
Right. Mm-hmm. Never again.
Not for a long time. And they will mirror back at you what are the things that you have to work on yourself. Mm-hmm. So I invite you to always think about or analyze if someone is annoying you or making you crazy or just like, I can't deal with this person. That means that this person's mirroring something that you need to work on in terms of your personality.
Yes.
And this is a really powerful moment because it is through relationships that you can end up working and healing your own relationship with yourself. And then eventually, I don't think it's right away, but because these changes are gradual, eventually you will see those changes reflected back in your, maybe the way you look, You know, maybe the way like everyone's like, whoa, you dyed your hair green. Okay. And there, and you, maybe you're like, I've been wanting to do that all my life, but I didn't dare to do it. And now I just did it. So little things like that, that obviously I just chose something small, but it's like just to refer to something like of the magnitude of changes that you're going to experience in your personality and the way you interact with your environment. But it is a time to take your power back, because this is really important. And I will say it as I go through the signs, but the angular houses are more important. So when you have Pluto moving into an angular house, it's going to be, its effects are going to be more noticeable. So this is the first house of self. Get ready to take your power back. So it is an incredibly important time along your journey, Aquarius. And it is all about getting real with yourself about what you want, what you desire. And relationships will be a vehicle for that personal evolution that you will experience.
Wow. Well said. Perfectly said. And I'm so happy we started with them. Stepping in. Yes, stepping to the threshold. But I just want to echo what you said. You've already been feeling it, right? Yeah, it's not Uranian. It's not Uranus overnight. Wake up, shake up. It's something you've been feeling into. And I love that. Never going to have an inauthentic relationship. Like, it's almost like impossible. As someone who just had Pluto going through my seventh house and my descendant, I will vouch for that energy. understanding it across those two parts of the chart. So beautiful. Let's get into Pisces next. We'll go around that way.
Yeah. I kind of love this for Pisces, actually, because like Pluto rules the subconscious mind, and that's where Pluto is heading. So I don't know, you know, when I think about this, like a Pisces, it just feels like, especially with Neptune in Pisces, that Neptune has been in Pisces for so long. I just feel like for Pisces, there's going to be like, you know, when a little girl sees a big cake for the first time on her birthday. Yes. It just feels like that, these huge eyes and just this huge awakening to realities. You were saying, Maddie, that's like, oh yeah, I'll chop it in there, like put it under the rug. That's what's going to happen to Pisces, right? It's going to be like the rug is going to come off and like all of this stuff is going to be there. You're going to be very aware, Pisces, of your fears, the real reasons behind your actions, what's been holding you back, what you've been avoiding to deal with. But this can be an amazingly healing experience because Pluto, again, rules the subconscious mind. Basically, you're going to have a meeting with, I would say, your higher self or the real you.
Yes, yes.
And you know what? The mantra that I have on my website really spoke to this, like on the Carl Jung mantra that a lot of people know is like,
yes, yes, I saw that.
Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. That is literally the mantra that I would put on the refrigerator if I'm a Pisces rising, because this unveiling of your fears and motivations and they will eventually take you to a communion with your higher self. And so working with the subconscious mind, which I would say hypnotherapy, tarot, astrology, or and even psychotherapy is the vehicle to make that a little bit more organized. Because a lot of the times the subconscious mind, it's just a little messy, you know, that there are like things coming through and like, ah. And so I like this, to be honest, because like I feel like once Neptune leaves Pisces for real, which is, I think it's happening in 2026, the beginning of 2026, there's a deep healing journey that begins for Pisces. And so I think it will be a very healing transit for Pisces, where they will realize a lot of things that they weren't aware of. But by doing that, they're going to be able to finally put them behind for real.
Right. And again, for Pisces listening, like you have Saturn in your sign right now. You have Neptune, like co-present in Pisces. Like you're probably experiencing, again, some of this. Like, but then going into this transit, I love what you said about just getting the subconscious organized. Because as someone with a Pisces moon, I'm like, ooh, yeah. Like, just like the things that are all there. And even if you've like maybe been on a journey to become a little bit more aware of them, I feel like using this Pluto transit to, come into deeper like communion with them, understand them, get organized, find the words for them, find the tools to deal with it all. Like you said, through some of those like healing arts or psychotherapy, just feels like it's going to be very, like, I think a Pisces with that behind them, unstoppable. Like, talk about power, right? I'm like, ooh, that feels so good. Okay, so wonderful, wonderful message for Pisces. And again, just reminding everyone what Narayana said in the beginning is just letting yourself get curious about this, using this as sort of like a mystical mood board for your next. It's not like one thing's going to happen or it's going to happen. It's probably not even going to happen the way you're thinking right now as you're listening to this, but letting it like evolve, sitting with it and just kind of using it more as like a guiding light when you're making decisions and doing certain healing work. Just want to remind everyone of that because it's a really great disclaimer in the beginning. So now let's talk about the rambunctious Rams, my Aries.
Mm-hmm. In a way, you know, obviously the Aquarians are leading this like revolution of the soul, revolution of the mind and all of that, right? But I feel like Aries too, because, you know, it's the 11th house for Aries. And so you are about to experience, and again, this is a slow 20-year transit of your, pretty much all of your groups, collaborations, and community changing. You're no longer going to just hang out with people. It's just not gonna, you're gonna be tired, Aries. It used to be like, oh yeah, I'll hang out with these people, but they're all right. No, it's almost like there's a bigger plan for you, because like you're gonna start noticing a deep desire to bring something to the table. You're going to care so much more about your community and about your tribe or your people than you used to. Mm-hmm. Maybe you it wasn't like your priority, but now you're going to feel the need to just accomplish something in a group setting. So we're talking about, I don't know, from starting a yoga community to rallying people out to vote to doing community work, like in your friendships. And so you're going to relate from a more authentic place, but also from a more powerful place. Like your contributions will become more powerful. And it will be a time for you to think, where do I want to live? Do I want to live in a community where there's this? That's no longer okay with me. I need to get involved. So this is where the power to the people really comes into place. I'm not going to lie, some of your collaborations might end and some of your friendships might end too, because that's what Pluto does. Pluto is going to show you who your real friends are. That might be a little like, oh, I didn't know that so-and-so were like this. Well, cat's out of the bag, and now it's how you deal with it, which is by creating more relationships and collaborations that feel authentic to you and to the contributions that you're bringing to society at the end of the day. You know what I love about this placement, Maddie? This is the house of hopes and dreams in traditional astrology.
Yes, yes.
So that is really awesome. I love this house because, like, let's not forget that is your hopes and dreams. So Pluto is going to ask you, do you remember that list of wishes you had when you were 20? Okay, honey, it's time to get real about accomplishing those.
Ooh, I like that.
Because Pluto is a no-nonsense planet, right? It's a no-nonsense. It's like, let's do this. There's no other option. You can't play it small anymore. It's time to pull out that list and start working through it.
Yes, hopes and dreams. I always love the 11th house for that. And it kind of goes to like that almost owning the own visionary energy for your life. Like, okay, like zoom out, right? Like, what do you want our life to be about? What are the dreams we've forgotten, fallen by the wayside? And who's going to be there alongside you? Who are you doing this for? Who are you doing this with? Big things. And you, as you're talking, I just keep visualizing this like alchemical process of like Pluto sort of burning away, right? Like anyone who's ever made a reduction in a sauce, or like the burning away, or the any kind of a chemical process where you're like, oh my God, I really see that. Like, because it can sound intense, like, ooh, like friendships are going to end, but there'll be the burning off, like feeling the discomfort, but like how good it feels to know that you're like, I have every friendship, every connection in my life feels really authentic, and it feels like it's really supporting me in this and in my wishes and dreams. Again, it's that going into that cave. It's a little bit of maybe an intense process to go through it. But then when you're there, you're like, oh my God, this feels so good. Or I feel so me, or it feels like, you know, better than I maybe could have imagined. So like while you're talking, I'm kind of like visualizing this whole alchemical process. And I'm like, yes, Pluto, do your thing, baby. So let's talk about our bodacious bulls, Taurus.
Yes. And you know, not to project on people, but I am Taurus rising. And I've been really feeling that shift. Maybe also because I'm a Scorpio with a Taurus rising. So I've been really feeling that shift. I invite you, Taurus, to do this exercise. And I promise you, it's going to be very revealing of your journey. Think about where you were at in your, not just work, okay? Let's talk about career as your contribution to society as well. Because like Aquarius mm-hmm. is your 10th house. And the 10th house, we have a tendency to think that it's only career, but it's not just that. It is more about your contributions as a human to the world. Like, what's your standing? What is it that you're bringing? It relates a lot to what I was saying earlier about your gift. I invite you, Taurus rising, Taurus sun too, it could even work that way, to think about where were you in 2008. And you will see that you've come a long way. Because Pluto was in the 9th house, but now that it's in the 10th, you're going to notice that you had to change tremendously the way that you saw life to get where you are. And you're going to notice that you might no longer, A, want to work just for money, like trade your life force for money. And you might be noticing an immense desire to be successful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But on your own terms, because Pluto is the planet mm-hmm. of power. And in this case, it's going to be at the top of your chart, if you're Taurus mm-hmm. rising. There are these intense desires in your body already, wanting to make a mark, desiring mm-hmm. to succeed. There's this insatiable, almost like insatiable desire for yeah. your work to be acknowledged or notice.
Yes.
And that is what you should be focusing on. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. Pluto in the 10th house is not going to allow you to play small anymore. It's like, feel the power of your work and your contributions. And so if you don't feel like you're in a career that speaks to you, it is very likely that Pluto is going to change that.
Absolutely.
Right? Would you agree, Maddie, that like that would be kind of like an outcome or... Yeah. And so, and if you're in a career that speaks to you, well, it's going to be about elevating that. And it's going to be about really bringing your gift to society with mm-hmm. your work.
Okay. So what it sounds like is we're having big moves, big changes for Taurus in terms of work. And what I'm hearing in this is a little bit of shifting, maybe thinking about like moving from a career to more of a calling or something that you're doing that's like transcending that, right? Anything you want to add to that, or does that feel like resonant with what you're feeling?
Yes, I feel like that's resonant a lot to what Tauruses will experience. And just inviting them, because Taurus is a fixed sign, to be open to change in that realm, which kind of Uranus is doing that work, right? But
yes, Uranus again has gotten that warmed up, the eclipses and like your Taurus, Scorpio. But I feel like, yeah, the fixed sign energy for all fixed signs listening to this. I think that's also why all of my Aquarii friends have been freaking out, because they're like, change, no. All right, shall we move on to our mystic messengers, onto Gemini?
Yes. I feel like this is also a nice, I mean, not nice, right? But like, it's a friendly position from Pluto to Aquarius, you know, we're from Aquarius, you know, yes. Because it's a trine. And this is what's really interesting, because like, even though Gemini's a mutable sign, I feel like they are pretty set, or they think they're pretty set in their beliefs, right? Well, guess what? Talk about mind shattering. Well, that's what you're in for, big time. Everything you think about life, everything you think about relationships, about the world at large is going to change. And that could be an exhilarating journey, because you're probably going to change something. You're going to probably think something very different about everything that I just said about in terms of what life is, what you want out of it. How do you see the world? You might become obsessed. You know, we hadn't talked about how Pluto also rules obsession.
Obsession? Yes.
Obsession. So you might become obsessed with astrology or cosmology or just something really big, Gemini, something really massive. It's going to attract your attention. And you might become obsessed with learning or finding the truth about something. And your vehicles for evolution are study, diving deep into the mysteries of the universe, or just something really out there, and exploration. And we're talking about exploration of the mind, exploration, physical exploration, traveling, different cultures, different flavors, different vistas. And so the way you see the world is going to go through a massive, let's say, renovation. So this is exciting. I mean, in a way, it just feels like you will experience what the world will experience, but at a more personal level in your life philosophy.
I love that for Geminis. And I think that, like, yeah, moving beyond preconceived notions or things that are previously held as like truths, it's going to be a really fun adventure in all kinds of fronts for them. All right. So, okay, this is my sign now, or my rising sign, at least. We have Cancer. What's in store for the mystic moonbeams?
You know what? I wanted to give kind of like a graduation congratulations to serve some of the signs, and I kind of forgot. But I feel like Cancer is one of them, you know? If you have Cancer rising, Cancer sun, Cancer moon, anything in Cancer, even Venus or Mars, you're no stranger to Pluto. Okay. So let's just start it that way. Because I think that in astrology is really important to tell you, you know, when you're having a Saturn transit, you're like, oh, Saturn transit is going to be scared. It's the same thing with Pluto. You have that planet in your chart. You already have a relationship with that planet. So, and Pluto was opposing Cancer for the past 15 years at one moment or another. You know, imagine if you have a Cancer stellium, which I know people that have that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to congratulate you, first of all, because you've been through a lot of Plutonian transformation already. So that's really important to remember. And in a way, that transformation that you experienced through your relationships, through your business partnerships, through basically a lot of the relationships in your life, we're talking about the people who you have a contract with, like your astrologer, your chiropractor, your hair lady, your mani-pedi person, your partner, your business partner. I'm just bringing this to like give you a little bit of context in terms of like all of that transformation that you experienced. Now it's going to a different part of your chart. Now it's not going to be like almost every single relationship you have. It's going to be only the intimate relationships that are going to experience this. So if you are married or you have a serious romantic relationship, well, you or your partner, or maybe together, are going to experience some sort of healing or some sort of deep process of the soul. You know, maybe you, I feel like this is like one of those things that you can help each other heal the past or your relationship, or maybe one of you had troubles with intimacy, and then now it's getting deeper into those holdbacks, or getting deeper into the motivations that make you be in the partnership. So this is a lot about vulnerability, like you were saying, Maddie. This is like Pluto is going to show you that there's power in vulnerability and opening up, because like Cancer is the crab. And so sometimes Cancer people have a little bit of reservations opening up. Well, now you're going to be shown that true intimacy is when you can be vulnerable and show vulnerability around the most important people in your life. There's a money relationship here too. So maybe your partner is going to experience ups and downs in finances. So that's just something to be aware of. It's not necessarily will happen, but you could all of a sudden run into a big sum of money as well in relationship to them. So I was really listening in that podcast that Pluto makes big things small and small things big. So it could totally happen, right? When all of a sudden you just run into a big sum of money. So it's not all necessarily bad or anything like that. There's just a transformation in the way you are relating with your partner intimately and also money-wise. It would be a good time to have those conversations just to prepare yourself. Like, you know, we have to talk to our partners about that sooner or later. And so just being conscious that that's where the energy is. It's through serious partnership, but also in how you relate, but also how you deal with your finances at large.
Yes. All right. Giddy up, fellow moonbeams. We've got this. Already feel the themes of this. That's what I love about it. It's probably not a big surprise. Like, these are things that are, at least personally, that I've been feeling into deeply, especially because you're coming off of the seventh house transit. It's been a lot about alchemizing the strength of relationship. But then what's after that now? We're like, okay, now on to the next part about vulnerability, intimacy, and shared resources and all of that. Okay, so next up, we have our lovely, lovely Libras.
Oh, do you want to do Leo first?
Mom brain alert. Just skipped over so many signs. Okay. Yes, Leos. Hello, our luscious lionesses. Okay, let's hear about what's in store for Leos.
Leo, you are about to experience a major, I would say, initiation in terms of your relationships. Similar to what I was saying, marriage, contracts, business partners from your coach, you know, everyone you deal with one-on-one. Similar to Aquarius, relationships are your mirrors now. And they will show you what needs work, what needs unveiling, what needs help, what needs reassurance. You're going to become an amazing observer after this transit. As soon as you start dealing with someone, you're going to know right away what this person has to show you, what they have to teach you. So I invite you to see every relationship as a mirror. In this case, there can be power plays. Mm-hmm. There can be, basically, if you're not in your power, Leo, which you are already, we know that you're powerful being, but if you're not fully in your power, Pluto might bring people into your orbit that are going to show you how to do that. But in order to take your power back, guess what's going to be first? You're going to feel like these people have power over you, or maybe they do. And so all of this is to show you, remember that, but Pluto is a planet of personal and collective evolution. So at the end of the day, if you feel like there are power plays, that's because you need some training in the art of boundaries or authenticity. Mm-hmm. Again, not that you're not, but that something needs work. Remember, so Pluto is going to show you through your relationships what you need to work on.
Yes, 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 seriously. Again, someone just went through the transit. I'm just like, yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. And it's beautiful and it's brilliant.
Was that your experience, Maddie?
Absolutely. Everything you're saying, I'm like, oh, you could just be recapping the past, you know, 15 years of my life in that. And it really is Pluto is so empowering if you choose to just work with it and trust the lessons. I mean, you know, sometimes like you'll get a little dragged by Pluto, but it really does like it shows you where you're giving away your power and where you get to take it back. And then when you do, everything that you attract from that place, every decision you make, your beliefs, your actions, like it just, they radiate with so much authenticity. So I love that, you know, as someone who's been through Pluto through my seventh and on my descendant. Okay, so let's now talk about Virgos. Before I was like thinking, we're talking about Virgos. I had a brain fart for a second. So what are my fellow Virgo vixens? What can we expect with Pluto and Aquarius?
Well, there are a few ways that this could manifest, right? In the first way that I want to talk about is life processes, because the sixth house rules your life processes, not just work. The sixth house rules work, health, and life processes. But the life processes of like how you record this podcast, how you put yourself out there, how you're productive in life, and we know that Virgos like to do things a certain way and all of that. Well, I would be open to change because that's what's going to make things easier for you instead of being like super fixated on a certain process. That's going to change tremendously. And again, this is when the Aquarian energy can be really helpful. Using AI to make our life easier, because that is what AI is doing. I'm even using it. I'm learning about it because I'm like, I don't want to stay behind. I have a lot of Virgo. So make your life easier, Virgo. It's okay. Nothing has to be perfect. The easier, the better, because like overworking can make you feel sick, overworking yourself. And so Pluto can help you establish processes that are a little bit more easier, that are better, that are going to bring you into the next stage of evolution. But for that, you're going to have to leave perfectionism out for sure, because otherwise you can't do anything. If you, let's say you have a health condition or like, you know, which we all have, like, oh, my bad left shoulder or this or my right hip, you might be able to get to the bottom of that. You might be able to find deep healing through the healing arts, through acupuncture, hypnotherapy, all of that to get to the root of the matter, because we all have it. You know, for me, it's the left shoulder from like writing.
When you said left shoulder, I was like, I just went to reflexology yesterday. I was like, my left shoulder, like, you know, I feel like so many of us carry left shoulder, you know, for energetic reasons. And yes, Virgo, to getting to the bottom of that in this transit, I'm here for that for sure. Let's figure out what's going on emotionally and spiritually and get to the root of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Because I actually have Pluto natally in the sixth house, and it's really important to not overwork yourself if you have that in your natal chart or transiting, because it can affect your well-being. You know, it can affect your well-being, and you might be, because you're so set in like, this is my process and this is the way I work and la, 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 la. You might be even, there might be a disconnection, because for me, the sixth house and Virgo, to be totally honest, and this is unpopular opinion, are ruled by Chiron, not Mercury. I don't see Mercury ruling Virgo. This is not something I came up with. It's Barbara Handclaw. This is not my idea, but I subscribe to it. I've seen it in charts. To me, Virgo and the sixth house are ruled by Chiron. Chiron, the wounded healer. So getting to the bottom of anything that's preventing you from finding that mind-body connection.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I like that.
So it is a little bit more soulful, the sixth house, than we make it, which is just like, oh, just this life processes. It just feels a little bit more like the mind-body-spirit connection to me, going on a deeper level.
Mind-body-spirit connection. I love that with like, Chiron is Virgo's ruler. I've never thought of that, and I've never heard that. I'm going to do a deep dive. But I also always think of the sixth house as like, in two ways, it's very Virgoic. Of like, it's like the details that really do make up your daily life and how you feel in it. Like not just the big goals and the big vision or the big 10th house. Like it's like your LinkedIn page. And it's like, there's so much. It's like, but then it's like your sixth house is actually like, how do you feel? Like, do you like your morning commute? Does your back hurt when you get up? And I think about it a lot as like the scaffolding to own your sacred work. So it's like, whatever the things that you like to do in your everyday life, like what's the scaffolding? What's the support that you need, that you deserve to do that, which is like my more soulful approach. Because someone who's a Virgo, I'm like, wait, no, the sixth house isn't just like, there's a lot of soulful meaning in there. So, okay, I'm intrigued to see what this Pluto, and I think for, you know, just speaking from me personally, and I'll probably speak about a lot of Virgos, is yes, we can so overwork ourselves. And I think, you know, we have a little bit of a block around AI, because we have a block with any, you know, offloading, outsourcing work. We're like, I'll just do it myself, right? I'll just stay up all night and get this done. And I just have had a hit the past like few weeks on my maternity leave. I'm like, just give it a try, right? Go on, figure out some of this stuff. And even if it's not like perfect, just see where you can take certain, lighten the load a little bit of your day to day. And so I'm excited and I'm open to this. Okay, Pluto, I surrender. I'm working with you on this one.
Yes, because you know, I always say that every successful team needs a Virgo, because they're the keepers of the spreadsheets and all of that. But it's like this, if you are overworking yourself for the sake of a company or for the sake of like Pluto, is going to show you that can no longer happen. You've been warned.
Okay, consider us warned, Virgos. All right, let's move this along for what our listeners now, our lovely, lovely Libras. What can they expect with Pluto and Aquarius?
Well, Libra also gets like a congratulations, because Pluto and Capricorn was intense.
Yes.
And then they have the South Node in their sign right now. So Libras are transforming deeply in 2024, but that ends at the beginning of 2025. So that's, you know, you're experiencing that transformation. But at the longer kind of like in the next 20 years, again, you've already been through a lot of Pluto, so you're going to be fine. Like the next house for you to transform is the house of romance, pleasure, creativity, and children. And so dating, I feel like, because Libras are very into dating, I feel like that's where you might see the most change, which is like, let's be real, you don't like being alone. I don't know how many Libras are single. Like, we should do a poll one day and try to find out. And I bet you that literally not many, right?
Oh my God. My husband's a Libra and I feel like he just wants to do everything together. It's like so cute. But my Virgo, sometimes I'm like, okay, like I don't mind having a little quiet time. And he's just like wants to like do everything together. I'm like, I love my Libra. It's like they just love relationships. They love doing things together. So if you're saying, if you're single and you're a Libra, like Pluto might be coming to like do some things for the dating life.
Yes. Like, let's just say that if you're a Libra rising, you might notice that no longer applies. You might realize that the reasons why you were dating just no longer feel like, you're just not going to want to date just because. That's what I was trying to say. You're not going to want to date just because you don't want to be alone. There's going to be a deeper reason for that. And then you'll probably experience, I would say, because this is where when you first meet people, that's where they go, right? That's the house of romance, pleasure. There's going to be a deep transformation in the way you seek, experience, and crave pleasure. Let's say that this position can be pretty kinky, because Pluto is a very sexual planet. So you might notice that you want to be a little bit more like a la Scorpio, right? Like you want to merge at a soul level with someone instead of just kind of surface level. And it sounds easy right now. And it sounds like, oh yeah, you know, you just merge at a soul level. Well, it's like that. Okay. It's intense. It's not just like, oh, merging our soul. It was like, I want to consume you. I want to know you from the inside out. It's like, it's intensity in romance, but it can be exciting. It can be something you've never experienced before. Again, remember, we've never experienced this before. Like, so we're like just speculating, but there's intensity of the romantic experience.
I'm just laughing just because, like, I think about people who just went through this transit. And I always love like checking it. I'm like, yep, 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 yep. That's what Libras, that's exactly. I mean, not exactly, because it's going to be your own take on it, but that's a pretty good high-level outline for what's to come. Very exciting, very intense, a deepening for sure around all of that. Our last fixed sign to get to, Scorpio rising. What's in store for the sultry, sexy Scorpions out there? Speaking of sexy energy.
You know, Pluto is the modern ruler of Scorpio. So Scorpio is kind of like, you know how to like reinvent yourself. So that is your mastery, your astrology mastery, you could say. But Pluto is going into your fourth house. So Scorpio, just think about how the way you express yourself and your communication, how all of that changed in the past 15 years. Well, move that to a very intimate part of your life. It's going to go into your home sector and family sector. So Let's just say that, Scorpio, you are going to be asked what you do best, which is dive into the mysteries of your soul, of your past, of your family, your roots, your ancestral roots, even. I mean, this could be a fascinating journey. I don't think it's going to be necessarily easy because you're going to have to basically deal with your baggage. All the skeletons in the closet, or maybe, and we all do this, by the way, we all have this childhood events or just family dynamics that, like Maddie said, Pluto deals with all the stuff that we put under the rug. So this might be a time where you might need to deal with those things and get real with your past and maybe even unearthing some riches. I mean, I love the fourth house in the sense that it brings a lot of ancestral knowledge. Think about all your family tree and who were your grandparents. And maybe you're a witch. And then all of a sudden you found out that your great, great, great grandma was a witch too. You know, just all these connections to the past.
Yeah. It connects you. Mm-hmm. Yes. I always think about that fourth house feels like your root chakra, you know, your IC, your fourth house is like the root chakra of your chart. And so unearthing all that, you know, might lead to some intense things, but it also can connect you to such a sense of belonging, such a sense of being grounded, such a cord of understanding your lineage and where you came from. But yeah, definitely like an intense part of the chart to unearth, because it's like, you know how I mentioned Pluto is like, you know, all the stuff we shove under the rug. That in the fourth house is like, well, what did your parents and your grandparents and their grandparents also shove under the rug? Now we're going to look at it, right?
And you know what a really good way to a practical way to work with this energy, and that's what I do with my clients. If you're going to have Pluto entering the fourth house, I ask, what does your storage look like? Do you have storage in your house? They say, yes. I'm like, when was the last time you cleaned it? Is it clean? Is it organized? Yes. I just had that experience with a client and she said, I have way too many things. That's what she said.
There we go.
And I said, well, honey, you wanted some guidance on what to do with how to work with Pluto?
Yeah.
Well, I gave her a good time right after the full moon. This is a great time to always do it after the full moon. You're going to get into that storage and you're going to process. I said, not just throw away. Mm-hmm. Process all the pictures, process all their memories, and yes, get rid of old stuff that you just, I'm not saying get rid of the pictures, but because Pluto clears, one of its jobs is to clear energetic debris. You can think about it this way. And we are the same we are with material possessions, we're with feelings. So if you have a lot of material possessions laying around in your storage nobody sees them, well, you gotta clear that out, because when you clear your space energetically, you're telling Pluto, I'm getting ready to clear my inner landscape as well. So that's something to do during this. Obviously, you have 20 years, but it is a way to start to kickstart the energy of Pluto.
Getting ahead of that. We love that. All right. Time to Marie Kondo, the home and the energetic home and the storage spaces. I always think of that, like the fourth house and the eighth house a little bit about like, yeah, our psychic basements and closets and also our actual ones in the home in the fourth house. So beautiful, practical advice. And let's go on to our Sag, our auspicious archers. What's in store for Sag and Sag risings?
Aquarius rules the third house. So this is about communication, speech, also the processing of information, kind of like how Gemini is going to experience it, transportation. So it is not like a very practical house. It feels really like a mental house, how you talk, how you write, how you, all of that is going to go through a really deep transformation. You could see transformation in your neighborhood, in your close community, because that goes here along with siblings as well. So your siblings might experience deep transformation. And obviously, well, you know, it might not affect you, but, you know, when your siblings are having a deep life change as well, you're involved. But it just feels like a very, in general, it feels like, like I said, a very mental, like up in your head, like research, investigation. Yeah. You might start writing like some investigative research about, I don't know, something really groundbreaking, you know, very, very, very like nouveau for this time. Studying, you know, getting to the heart of something, maybe writing your doctor's dissertation. It just feels like a very studious.
Yes, getting to the heart of something, getting the research, the receipts to back it up, maybe even in that having some breakthroughs of the mindset or something. Maybe you uncover something that you thought was like you have your own new tool or technique or a paradigm shift around something. And it's interesting what you said about the change in neighborhood, I think. I don't know. As some Sag as I know, I think that I've already seen that a little bit. Yeah, more of an abstract house it's going through. But I feel that, again, another like quite literal mindset shattering, new thoughts, new ideas coming through, but maybe a little bit more from study or kind of going deeper on something like in research.
This feels like one of the least intense placements for Pluto.
Okay, well, there you go, Sag rising. You're welcome. Again, auspicious, lucky, quote-unquote, once again.
Lucky, right?
Lucky, right? Always. So now we come to last, but certainly not least, our Capricorns, our spiritual sea goats. What can we expect? Talk about congratulations and graduations, too.
This is the main congratulations. This is the main congratulations,
woo!
Right? It's like,
yay!
Woo! Party. You did it!
Foghorn!
Yay! Honestly, I mean, I'm married to a triple Capricorn. And this is really interesting because we started dating in 2010. So just 2 years after, and I'm a Scorpio. So you can see how I was a catalyst for his transformation.
You were. Yes. Okay.
And in a good way, in a good way, because like he met somebody he wanted to marry and I'm a no-nonsense kind of person, you know, so I play. And I just want to share this just to show you that Pluto can have many faces.
Yes. It's so important to hear how it actually plays out.
When I met my current husband, he wasn't happy with his job. He was running around, you know, kind of like not taking life seriously. And he is a completely different person. He went back to school. He got a master's degree in aerospace engineer and he's killing it. So I just wanted to share that story because I think it's fascinating that he took control of his life. He basically, that's what Pluto is asking you to do, you know? And so Capricorns, now you did that. So it's like a massive congratulations. This is something that it was only going to happen once in your life. And so I'm glad that you did it. If you're here, you probably did the work, you know? So now that transformation's moving to your finances. So it's time to take control of your finances. It's time to change that for the better. That being said, because Pluto brings ups and downs and Pluto has an energy of extremes, you might experience ups and downs, but that doesn't mean things are going to be necessarily bad. You're just going to have to take a no-nonsense approach to your finances, to paying your debt if you have debt, to your resources. It's not just finances. It's resources, what you do with it, what you keep in the storage again. What's your budget? If you have your own business, you're going to have to figure out what your resources are, but also like the material possessions, right? So if you have a deep attachment to material possessions, Pluto is going to bring a big lesson around that. Practicing detachment is something that you're going to learn now that you know. You know, it sucks when you lose a diamond. You know, it's happened to me. You all of a sudden lost it. Well, practice non-detachment. In the end, what Pluto is going to transform is what you value.
Exactly. I was just going to say, like, what you value, why you value it, your part in that, your own, like, self-value that you're bringing to your life or to your work that you charge. And, yeah, shift in your, yeah, what you value and your value system, maybe like that. Like, yeah. It's never fun to lose a diamond, but as an example, it's like, why do I value that? What's the non-attachment I'm being asked to practice? Or maybe these past 15 years have showed you like, oh, there's a whole different me emerging. And from that space, my values have shifted. My self-worth has shifted. But, you know, maybe I used to value money. Now I value time. Maybe I value, right? Like kind of thinking about that. And then you're going to see things probably like certain questions being asked to reflect that or opportunities to really live out that, live in your value system. So yeah, that feels very resonant. And it feels very, you know, it's the next step, right, for Capricorn into this. It feels like the next logical step too, because Capricorn is such an earth sign. It's like, well, okay, that's important. Resources are important. Feeling safe and secure and stable is important. But like, what does this mean beyond that?
Yeah, I love that you said that because like maybe you value more time with your family now instead of like making money. That's just an example. But because with Pluto, you always get transported to the end game, right? Like what's the end game here? Is it having a lot of money and a lot of possessions or is it spending time with precious time with my people, with my tribe? So your overall value system is going to change tremendously.
Mm-hmm. Perfectly said. We didn't miss anybody, right? I don't want to get any hate mail. Okay, good. Okay. So we got all 12 signs. And of course, like, you know, listen for your rising sign, listen for your sun sign. But everything that Narayana just said will affect different parts of your chart. So you listen to it all, take it in, listen to it for your partners, listen to it for your spouses, your business partners, your siblings, your children, your coworkers. I do that when I listen to things like this. Like as you're talking, I'm like, okay, gotta give my sister a heads up or tell my business partner, Audrey, something. But Narayana, thank you so much. This was so generous. I know we've gone well over our time, but this feels like such a thorough investigation, exploration into Pluto and Aquarius. So thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom. And if people are just loving your vibe, which I'm sure they are, where can people find you and how can they work with you?
Yes, of course. So I am on naramon.com. So that's my website. I recently launched my YouTube channel, which is like something that I wanted to do for 2024. So yay. I am doing long form videos there. Educational and also transits. And I do readings. I do astrology, tarot readings, and I spent 2023. I'm still working through that process of getting certified to read the Akashic Records, which has been life-changing for me. And so I'm doing those readings as well. And I came up with a new offering, which is a Soul Path reading, which combines astrology and Akashic Records because it's really trippy, but they really work together. So that's kind of like my new baby. I wrote a book about the moon, which we've talked about here. And I make birth chart paintings as well. And yes, I mean, I just love working with people. You know, I'm a Scorpio sun, Leo moon, Taurus rising, triple Sag, triple Virgo. And so, yeah, thank you so much for having me. Oh, and you know what? I forgot that I created a 13 retrograde, free retrograde guide to guide everybody.
Yes, everyone go check that out on her site. I checked it out before and I was like, oh, I'm so excited to download it for myself too.
You know, it was going to help. I created it in a way that it was going to be good for the astro newbie to the astrologer because I'm writing there all the degrees of the retrograde. So that's really helpful. So yes, and it's free to download. My gift to you.
So yummy, so generous. Again, thank you so much for coming on, everyone. Go follow Narayana if you're not already. Go check out her work. It's so important. It's so lovely. It's so juicy, so intuitive, so artistic. So thank you again. And everyone, we're just sending you, speaking on behalf of Narayana, but we're sending you like collective, just blessings, I think, for this Pluto and Aquarius. The thing I keep thinking about is like, we've got to be living in a time in life that's unprecedented with most people aware of astrology because of technology, the internet. Like, you know, I think there was ancient times people maybe understood about astrology, but it feels different now. And I think there's something very, what we're saying, like Pluto is just guiding us. I think this information, you know, as above, so below, is showing us what we can potentially work with to share our gifts in favor of living in more authenticity and more peace in a more beautiful world. So I invite everyone to take what you heard today and like let all of this happen, right? For your personal evolution, our collective revolution. And my prayer over everyone is just that it's like yummy and for your highest and hottest good, as I always like to say. And Narayana, is there anything you want to say just to close out before we stop recording here, a final just word of wisdom or anything for anyone listening?
I guess that my words of wisdom would be, you know, what's coming to me now, what I'm channeling is like surrender to the evolution of you.
Perfect. Beautiful. Love it. Love you. Thank you so much. And thank you everyone for tuning in.
Mwah. Thank you.
Do you love getting your Cosmic RX for the week here and want more? Make sure to sign up for our premium subscription so you can get exclusive access to bonus podcast episodes, all of my astrology info for the month ahead, and live new and full moon calls to help you manifest your dream life with an intentional international community of other cosmic baddies. Sign up through our link in show notes.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you want to know more about Cosmic RX, head on over to thecosmicrx.com. And if you really love this show, I'd love it if you left a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. I super love hearing from you and reading your reviews. All right, you cosmic baddie, tune in next week. And until then, remember, love yourself fully, work your magic, and take no shit.